was radically altered forever. Regardless of whether or not you believe in God, any God, you're an atheist, an agnostic, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Jew, the reality is that 2,000 years ago, the world changed. In an event that sent shockwaves around the world, such shockwaves that even today we feel the shockwaves in the recreating of our calendar, in the day-to-day lives that we live, and all of these things. And in that moment, the Creator of the universe stepped out of His heavenly realm and entered ours in the form of a baby. On that night in a manger, in the town of Bethlehem, in the city of David, to a virgin girl and her husband Joseph, a child was born. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how this child was no ordinary child, how this child was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and our Savior. And the question is what's so special about this child? You see, he wasn't the only child ever born of the lineage of David. So why this child? The answer so many times is so simple yet so complicated to understand, because this child wasn't just a child. This child was God. This child was literally the Creator of the universe in the body of an infant. Today's culture, the enemy has convinced us of the truth that all religions, all roads, all gods are the same, all belief systems are the same, that regardless of who you worship, how you worship, essentially you're worshiping the same deity, simply different forms. In fact, some of those belief systems not only tell you that you are worshiping the same God, but that if you do it well enough, you yourself can become a God. That you could literally work your way up through the ranks and run your own world. They go so far as to say that if you prove yourself worthy, you yourself be elevated to His level. There's one glaring exception to this reality, and that is Christianity. You see, our faith, our belief is so special. Two major points of our faith are so different than any other belief system out there. And on just those two, and we could name countless others, but on just those two, we can build a platform which speaks to the hearts and minds of men and women all across the world. And the first of those is that God Himself humbled Himself and took our form and approached us. Every other religion out there, you have to approach God. In Christianity, God approached you. He didn't wait until you were good enough. He didn't wait until you had worked hard enough. He didn't wait until you felt like it. He Himself took it upon Himself to enter our world and to provide salvation. The second part of what makes Christianity such a wonderful thing is that not only did He enter this world, not only did He come in the form of a baby, but He grew up in that form and lived a perfect life, died a sinner's death, and gave us an atonement that was necessary. So that as we place our faith in Him, His righteousness, a righteousness that we could never get ourselves, is imputed upon us to give us access to the very gates of heaven. Tonight, as we close our series on this child, we want to take a quick look at the reality that this child born in a manger 2,000 years ago is King, He is Savior, but our last topic is that He is God. So if you have your Bible and you turn with me in Matthew chapter 1, we got one verse there. If not, you can follow along the screen. Matthew 1 chapter 23, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and then they'll name Him Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." About 700 years before the birth of Christ, a man walked the earth who we typically refer to as Isaiah. Isaiah, we all know, was a prophet of God, and he prophesied about this coming Messiah. In fact, the verse that we find here in Matthew chapter 23 is taken directly from Isaiah 7:14 and is repeated back to Joseph by the angel Gabriel in the announcement of the birth of Christ. And that verse is simply that he will come and they will name him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And then a couple of chapters later in chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah also states that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. And as you take these two together, in Matthew, Joseph is told that the child will be named Jesus. That name in Hebrew is Yeshua or Joseph, Joshua. And Joshua simply means the Lord saves. And all of these names together have one simple thing that runs through them constantly, and that is that God is the central point of the entire theme. But the reality is the Christmas story found in the Gospel of John is the most clearest picture of who Christ truly is. So in John chapter 1, we have one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture that, quite honestly, you'll ever read. And most of us don't ever think about this as a Christmas story, but the reality is that in so many ways it truly is. So I'm going to read for you John 1, 1 through 18, and then you can follow along on the screen, and then we're going to kind of break it down just real quickly. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, the Word, was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light, who gives light to everyone. He was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who do receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, this was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me has surpassed me because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." So as we know, this is nothing like the Christmas story we find in Luke. It's nothing like the Christmas story we find in Matthew. But John's purpose in writing this was to ensure that his readers understood that Jesus wasn't just the King of the Jews, that he wasn't just the Messiah, he wasn't just the Savior of the human race, that he was God himself in the flesh. And as we walk through just a couple of defining passages in John chapter 1, what we have to understand tonight and what we have to accept and realize is that it wasn't enough for him to be king. It wasn't enough for him to be Savior. If he wasn't God, none of the other things could have ever been accomplished. So the John 1:1, I told you this morning, the best place to start a story is at the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now that in itself is powerful enough, because it tells us as we go down through this passage, we begin to understand that the Word is Jesus Christ. And we see that in the beginning, he was there and he was with God. But it's not enough just to know that he was with God. That third line is so important. And the Word was God. You see, if Jesus was just a man, if he was just a king, if he was just a Savior, then he's no different than you or I or anyone. And nothing he could have done, nothing he could have accomplished would have been enough to bridge the divide. I can't build enough righteousness to impute it upon myself to enter the gates of the kingdom of heaven, but God himself can. And as God himself entered our world and began to live and move through us, we see down in verse 12, but to all who, he came to his own in verse 11, and his own people did not receive him. They didn't even recognize him. He came as a baby and an infant in a manger in Bethlehem, and the Jewish people didn't recognize what had been sent to them. And but it says, it goes on to say, John says, but for all those who do, for everyone who believes in him, God promises to give them the right to be the children of God. Now, I don't know about you, but man, how phenomenal it is to know that I can be a son of the living God. That I'm not just any other person, that I'm not just walking, but I am an heir to the throne of the kingdom of heaven. Because of the work of Christ on the cross, I and you can be royalty. Because of the grace and mercy poured out on Calvary. And it goes down to say in verse 14, the Word became flesh. He took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Two magnificent things in Scripture, grace and truth. First of all, we know what grace is. It's giving us exactly what we don't deserve. It's having mercy. It's being willing to overlook because of what he has already done. But the second piece of that is truth. The important part about truth is because we know he is true, because we know he is God and God is truth. And if God is truth and he is God, then everything he said, everything he promised, every statement he made is what? 100% truth. Therefore, when you look to John's passage and you see where he tells his disciples, he says, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can't go where I'm going right now, but I'm going to prepare a place, and when it's your time, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you there. And you'll be with me. He looked at the thief on the cross and he says, I promise you today you will be with me in paradise. And he says to us, each of us sitting here tonight, if you but call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. It's nothing more than belief. According to the writer of Hebrews, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of things unseen. Listen, there are no words to help you or I or any, for that matter, anyone understand God becoming flesh. We simply have to believe it in faith. And only faith can satisfy us that this is true. But as we come to know and love Christ with all our being, we can have faith that this child that we celebrate, this child is King, this child is Savior, and this child is God. Let's pray. Father God, as we celebrate another beautiful Christmas, Father, as we worship together and fellowship together tomorrow with family and friends and loved ones, Father, as we see all the gifts and open all the packages and just literally fill ourselves over ridiculously full with food, Father, I pray that through all of that, the central focus in our lives would not be the food, it would not be the packages, it would not be the gifts. Father, it wouldn't even be the family and the fellowship, but that it would be that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth on Christmas 2,000 years ago, that he lived a perfect life, that he died a sinner's death, that he descended into hell, he defeated death, he rose after 3 days, he ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he continues in his work of salvation. And Father, for that we should praise him, be thankful for him, and rejoice in him always. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we give you the honor, and we give you all of the glory. We ask all of this in your most holy and heavenly name. Amen. Before we